You've probably given your wife a lot of reasons to be forgiving. So they have a bigger burden on forgiveness than we do. Now, that's not why we're doing leadership. We're doing leadership because I think it's something that guys sincerely need, whether we're in South Africa or Northwest United States. And I just want to pose a few questions here. Why is it not okay as a husband, as a man, and we're going to be talking primarily to marrieds here, but if you're not married, I was talking to some of the brothers beforehand, it's not good to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone, and we were throwing scriptures around. But we're talking to primarily married guys. So, question, why is it not okay as a husband to say, I don't want to lead my wife or my family? That's just not something that comes natural to me. She wants to, so I let her. Why is it not okay to say, well, she's better at it than I am? So that's the way it is in our house. Or, you know, it would cause so much conflict in our place, in our house, that it's just we've kind of figured out that she leads and I'm okay with that for the sake of peace. There's a zillion other questions like that that we might ask. It may be the other, you know, just authoritative, abusive. Why is it not okay to be an authoritative, abusive leader? You know, I don't think men would actually say the things that we've just talked about. That, you know, I don't lead in my family because. But by default, that's what is happening in a lot of homes today. And I think children are suffering as a result. Because it's God's plan for marriage. It's God's plan for life that men lead. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Everywhere you look, in the Bible, in nature, microscopically, macro, telescopically, everywhere you look, there's order in God's universe. And God definitely is a God of order. He ordered society. He ordered the human condition for men to lead. Now, thankfully, he gave us a lot of instructions as to how to do that righteously and correctly. But everywhere you look, you know, and in truth, the popularity of a teaching proves nothing for or against that teaching. It's not real popular, especially in America. I don't know about South Africa, for us to be talking about this. You know, men... And women in public arenas don't talk about men leading. Matter of fact, in my opinion, men have kind of abdicated their God-given role in America. I can say that because I'm not in America. You know, I'm not. No, I've said it many times there. You know, let's not be guilty. Also, the silence of Adam. When at the very beginning of Genesis, Eve sinned and Adam said nothing. From the very beginning of man's dealing with women, with God, man abdicated his responsibility by saying nothing. And, you know, again, let's not be guilty of being more submissive to political correctness than we are the will of God. You know, when we change God's plan for order, chaos results. And I think a lot of the chaos we see in our time has come about because of men not leading. In a lot of sense, and there's some studies that have indicated this, that the problem of homosexuality is a problem where men, dads, fathers have not led in the home. It's not always the case. there are other extenuating circumstances that creates homosexuality. And I think a big one is the aggressiveness of homosexuals. I think that's one of probably the, it's increasingly so. There's a great DVD that I think focus on the family, folks, and James, Dr. Dobson, has created a lot of stuff on this subject at, you know, risk of life and limb, actually, to speak out against homosexuality. It's becoming a point, to the point where you speak about the sin of homosexuality. There's some concern that in America we're moving to the place where that would be considered hate speech, to put homosexuality in a category of sin. But I believe that false religion, messed up kids, AIDS, divorce, I think many of these things that are chaotic in our society can be laid at the feet of men. Godly men not leading, and men not leading in their homes. And I think so much of the misery of the world is a result of man replacing God's wisdom and God's order with man's wisdom and man's resultant disorder. So as Christians, hopefully with a deep faith in the Scriptures, we need to continually go back to the Bible to find and to implement God's plan for leadership. As husbands or potential husbands, we need to deeply abide by Ephesians 5, verse 23, which says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." The husband is the head of the wife. Regardless of what the world says, that's what the Bible says. And as Christians, we have got to lift that up. And by our lives and by the order that we create by leading such a family, we shine like stars in a very dark universe as we hold up the Bible truth about family. Yeah, unless we get the idea that we're commissioned by God Himself to lord it over our wives, the very next statement in that Ephesians verse that we just looked at, in Ephesians 5, the very next verse says, it says, you know, husband is the head of the wife, and what does it say? As Christ is head of the church. And so that kind of takes from our thinking, okay, I'm the head of this lady. And you know, I had a bad idea of leadership when I was first married. And thanks be to God, my wife was patient and helped me and brothers and the Bible. I was into the Bible to a degree that I learned how to be a leader. It wasn't as Christ. I wasn't leading my wife as Christ is the head of the church. I was leading her as an ungodly man. And so, with Christ as our model of being the leader of our wives, what do we know? What do we know if He is our leader, if He is our model? Well, we know that we're going to be loving. You know, God is love. We know that. We know that we're going to be forgiving if Christ is the model of our leadership. We know we're going to be gentle. We're going to be lovers of peace. We're going to be meek and gracious with our wives, because that is what our leader Jesus is like. So when we think of leading our wives, we need to think instinctively. How would Christ lead? Now, we were joking a while ago. Christ, of course, wasn't married. Neither was the Apostle Paul. I know that. Everybody knows that. But Christ was perfect in every regard. And, you know, our leadership style, quote-unquote, has everything to do with the knowledge that we have of Jesus. Our leadership style has everything to do with how much we know Jesus. And if we're having a hard time leading our wives, it's probably because we don't know Jesus that well. We're not going to the Bible to learn what kind of a man He was. You know, in Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." As husbands, we need to be very careful how we live as leaders. And that carefulness is tuning in what Jesus was like. You know, the big problem, I think, for many men, and it certainly was for me, is I was not very careful as to how I lived. I just lived the way I was. We were all raised by flawed men. If we had a father. I didn't have a father growing up. And I'm sure many of you didn't. I'm sure many of you that did have fathers, all the rest of them were flawed. You know, we were given an empty way of life. We were handed an empty way of life, Peter says, by our forefathers, by our parents. And so it's a big problem for many of us that we just really didn't learn how to lead. We didn't see it modeled in our homes from our own fathers, perhaps our extended family. We didn't see a righteous, godly kind of fathering. Few of us have. Few of us have grown up seeing the right kind of dad. And so this one area perhaps one of the most important areas of a father, and that is his leadership in the family, we saw something far less than what God intended. And that certainly was true in my life. And, it was hard for me to be very careful how I lived. I think for way too long I remained as a boy, as a kid. What is true of boys? Well, a lot of boys are immature, kind of lazy, easily angered. Am I hitting any of your profile here? Easily, feelings are easily hurt. That's kind of the way most of us grew up. And the kind of fathers we had probably were easily angered. Most men in the world without the influence of Jesus are easily angered. And I would say the majority of us men in this room have that problem. Is that things, we easily get angered and we kind of blow our tops. And, if that's you, God is a great believer in fresh starts, new starts. Hopefully when we were born again as Christians, that was one of the things that we died to, that easily angered business. But it's something that plagued me for years and years and years. Impatience, being easily angered, having my feelings hurt, being lazy, especially around the house. I used to even joke and say, well, I work outside the house, Linda works inside the house. And so I didn't do anything inside. I didn't wash dishes, I didn't vacuum. And I've learned how to do that over the years. I'm really proud of myself that I actually learned how to run a washing machine. And it's impressive. But seriously, it's one of the problems I think we have as men is that we lead the way we saw our fathers lead, or we lead the way it kind of comes naturally to us. And natural guys, I pity the women in the world who are married to natural men, who are men who are not been touched by Jesus. It's not a very good profile there. But for the sake of our wives and our children, we've got to decide to become men that lead like Jesus. So here's some clues that you're not leading. And perhaps these might tip you off here a little bit. Or maybe your buddy. Your wife is the one who suggests that you need to pray together. You perhaps are not leading if that's the standard in your home. That it's always the wife who says, honey, we need to pray about that. Another clue. She's the one who most generally or always tries to resolve conflicts that the two of you have. Lynn and I had a little misunderstanding, a bump, you might want to say, this past couple of days. And it kind of flared up and she got a little ticked, and I was a little ticked, and we didn't say anything for a while, which was a good thing, actually. Sometimes the less you say, the better. Let a little time lapse. And then I'm here to tell you guys, I had a victory. I was the one who reapproached the whole subject, brought it back up again, said, hey, help me understand what you were trying to tell me last night when I wasn't listening too well. I'm really sorry about that. But if she's the one generally that tries to resolve conflict, you may not be leading in your family. Or she's the first one to call. Your prayer partner, your faith partner, or your prayer partner, whatever you call them, your buddy, your spiritual friend, if she's the one who generally does that first call. Or you may not be leading if she's the one who generally initiates hospitality. You know, the Bible tells elders who are men that they should be hospitable. It doesn't say the wives of elders, it says elders. And so it's a skill, it's not really a skill, it's a heart issue, hospitality. If your wife is the one that always initiates it. Now, I used to initiate it in the one hand. I would always invite people over and then do nothing. I had the best situation in it. Yeah, you guys, come on. Come on to our house and have dinner. And then I'll say, oh, by the way, honey, this family or these people, and often it would be there. This guy doesn't have any place to live. He's moving in for a couple of months. Okay? You may not be leading if that's the way, you know, When you're talking with others, the two of you with another couple or another person, if she talks first, if she talks the most, and she talks last, in other words, you're just kind of sitting there. That's right, dear. I agree. That's probably not an indicator of your leadership. You may not be leading if the kids go to her for most everything. If your children go to their mom for everything, you may not be leading your family. It's just an indicator. It may be true, it may not be. You may not be leading your wife if going out on a date is generally her idea. She makes all the arrangements, including getting the babysitter, deciding where you're going to go, what you're going to do. It may be that you're not leading your wife if that is generally what happens. I remember it was several years ago this month, we were going on an anniversary, her birthday anniversary getaway. And we were driving along, and I kind of tossed the newspaper in her lap, and I said, so where do you want to go? Oh my gosh, that was not a good thing to do. You probably know that already, but I was kind of slow, and she was all upset. I said, what's the problem? And as it unraveled, obviously I hadn't taken the time to, you know, make any plans as to where we were going to go, what we were going to do. Hadn't made a budget for it at all. And it became quite obvious that it was kind of a spur of the moment, yeah, I guess we should do something tonight kind of idea. You know, that was a pretty strong clue that I wasn't leading. And so if going out on dates and things and doing things like that with your wife is always her idea and her planning, it's a good indicator that you're not leading. And, you know, there's nothing, I think, that says more to our wives about how much we love them and appreciate them is for us to do that very thing, is to, you know, arrange for the babysitter, arrange, you know, for the getaway or whatever it is. You don't have to spend money to have a great time. Okay, some areas husbands need to lead in. First of all, four or five categories, spiritually. You know, praying together needs to be a default button in your relationship. If things are going well, you guys need to pray, and you need to suggest it. If things aren't going well, you guys need to pray, and you suggest it. Take the leadership spiritually, and the other areas will kind of fall into place, I think. Your wife is, if you haven't been leading, she is just waiting and longing and praying that you will someday actually grow up into a man like Jesus and lead. Providing an example of being in the Word of God. Now, obviously, you know, you don't get your Bible out and sit in the middle of the traffic pattern so that your wife will see you in the Bible. That's not the goal. But it should be obvious in your life, and it should be obvious to your wife that you're in the Bible. And how does that obviousness come out? Well, in the way you talk. We were talking the other day. From the mouth, or from the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you've got the Word of God on your heart, it's going to come out in your words. And, you know, that is a way of leading, and our wives need to be led. Obviously, leading your family, your wife, being at church on Sundays, midweek. I applaud all of you. You're here tonight, midweek. I don't know about all of you, but I know George didn't make it home. I ate all the rice and the fish. So I hope you enjoy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. His wife made this wonderful meal, but he didn't make it home. He came right here from work, and I'm sure many of you did that. And I praise God for that. And I think that is leading your family. You could easily say, oh man, this was a long day. I haven't had a chance to be home. I'm just going to go home. The wife and the kids will be at church, and I'll have the house to myself, and I can just... You didn't do that. Amen. Thank you. You're leading. And seeing that your family is here. Being a person, a spiritual person, watching how you live, being careful how you live, being positive and hopeful and cheerful and joyful and happy. I think being supportive of what's going on around you, being supportive of the leadership of the church. You know, to me, that is one of the great ways you lead your wife and your children, is by the positive comments you make about church and you make about the leadership of the church. It's a way of leading in a very positive way. I think another area that we need to lead in is in humility. We'll talk a little bit about it, but resolving things between you and your wife, you taking the lead in that. You can learn to do that. I have learned to do that. It's some of the hardest stuff I've ever learned to do, is swallowing my pride and my embarrassment and my stupidity and apologizing and saying, you know, like I did yesterday, saying, you know, please help me understand what you were trying to say. It again, I'm listening now. I wasn't yesterday, and I'm so sorry. Get in the habit of doing that, guys. That's the kind of leader God wants you to be. You know, leading and sharing your faith, having your coworkers and your neighbors, and leading spiritually that way. Being a leader in church, if that's your gift, developing your gifts. You know, it looks to me like there's a lot of people, a lot of guys, a lot of women leading in a lot of different ways. But be the kind of person that steps forward and says, you know, my kids need to see me doing this. My wife needs to see me lead. And most importantly, God needs to see me taking seriously and how much I appreciate this church. And so a step forward. As we said, in humility, serving. Again, I learned later in life, it was not 50 years ago, it was sometime since then, I learned how to wash dishes. I had forgotten how. Well, as a single, I don't think I ever did wash dishes. Cleaning, making the bed in the morning. I would like to know how many of you make the bed in the morning. Ooh, okay. Probably 10 or 15 of us. I don't do it every morning because she beats me to it sometimes. But you want to get on your wife's good side. And of course you do. And that's not why you would do it. But make up the bed occasionally. It's amazing. Just serving your family, how that equates to leadership. God wants us to be leaders. Leading picking up or cleaning clothes, doing a load of laundry. And as I said, I learned that. My kids, I've shocked all four of my kids. They didn't know I could do that. And they come to see us, and I'm actually making the bed, I'm vacuuming, and they say, "Dad, you learned how to vacuum." Yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself, son. Actually, it's been some time ago, but lead in that way. Lead with your children. I think this is an area a lot of dads leave up to moms, and it's to the detriment of children. We need to lead our kids in interacting with each one of them. I didn't really have a father growing up. I had a stepfather who could, I'm not even sure he knew my first name. That's how impersonal the relationship was. He grunted when he wanted something at the table. And kind of, that means pass the potatoes. Learned his language of grunt. But, you know, take the leadership in getting to know your children, each one of them, in loving them and playing with them and stuff we talked about the other day. Take the lead in training them, in disciplining them, in having family nights. You know, a pet peeve of mine, I don't know whether who I've said this to, but so if I said it already, excuse me, forgive me. But the other elder in San Diego, the two of us served together, George used to say, if we were in a kind of a informal setting with families, children, and intermingling with adults and what have you, and a child would do something misbehaving, he would get the child and the dad together, and George would say, "Do you want to take care of that, or do you want me to? One of us is going to take care of it. I can either do it and show you how, or you can do it and take care of it." And I think that's a good thing for us to have that kind of setting with each other's kids. To have a, you know, if we're really family, uncles and aunts and cousins and moms and dads and brothers and sisters, take care of each other and take the lead in disciplining your kids. It's you know, when a mom and dad sees the same event and mom goes after the child and disciplines the child, I just shudder. I shudder right there. And often if I know the family, I'll take them aside and say, "Guys, you see what just happened there? Dad, you just sat and kind of watched mom do your job. That's not leadership. Don't let that happen." Again, take the lead in having family nights. Lead in finances in your family. You know, one of the things that my wife and most, I think a lot of women, really like to shop. I think my wife would just about as soon shop as do about anything. And it's exhausting to me. You know, 30 minutes of shopping, I think I could work 3 or 4 hours on a chain gang and not get as tired. But, you know, oversee your budget. If you need to reel things in. Make a budget and keep to it. Include certainly your wife in the budgetary decisions and do it collaboratively. But, you know, we've got a great program going at church. It's Dave Ramsey. He's a financial guy. He's put together this, I think it's about a 13-week class or a course, DVD and everything. And I would love for one of you guys to go online, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, do a little research, come to Werner and say, "Hey, Werner, I think this would be great for the church." I am sure Werner would love that as well. He's never seen it, but just on this recommendation, we've sent about, I think, about 3 groups of 30 disciples through this, and they all are saying, "Hallelujah, thank you, wish I'd have known this when we first got married," kind of stuff. So get lead in your finances. Lead in being healthy. You know, and being fit. Most of you guys look pretty fit. Lead your wife. A lot of women really struggle with dieting. My poor wife watched her just about all our married life, one after the other after another. And, you know, I just kind of watched and groused rather than lead. I'm thinner. No goodness on my part. I'm lucky that I have a high metabolism or have the right DNA or whatever. Some people really have to work at being fit and being the right kind of weight. But take the lead in that. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to go and purchase expensive membership to a fitness center. Just start walking with your wife. That's perhaps one of the best things that you can do, is walk or ride bikes, or, you know, you've got a lot of water around here, whatever you need to do. But watch what you eat. Take the lead in being fit. You know, and lastly, take the lead in romance. You know, initiating times together. Now, you know, this is not a class on sexuality and all that stuff. But sex has a lot more to do than just what happens between the sheets. You know, like, hey, you want to do it? It's not really great leadership for your wife. You know, lead in romance, being a romantic person, that's something else. I wasn't quite that gross, but almost. And so initiating times together, just the two of you, especially if you have kids at home, little kids, is finding ways just the two of you can be alone and get out of the house occasionally, to just the two of you. Okay, so in closing, you know, take on your role as your family's leader. Take it seriously. It's God has given you the role of being the leader in your family. For the head of woman is man. The head of every woman is her husband, every married woman. And it's, you know, realize that it's God's idea, it's your wife's desire, and I think it's your kid's salvation that you take the leadership in your family. James said it well in the first chapter of James. He said, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be the leader in your family. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Want to throw questions?
Yeah, we've got about 10-15 minutes left, so we thought maybe we can do a bit of a Q&A on this. You guys keen on doing that?
Yeah.
I'm a legit.
Who wants to go first here?
I covered everything.
Yeah. They just mentioned about the role financial and she takes a lot of finances, she's great therapy. I feel that it is important that, obviously it's important to be involved, but